Shalom Aleichem for Parshas Naso, the longest Parsha in the Chumash with 176 psukim. We Amir Hashem have 8 Divrei Torah. There is a lot to talk about. Just a quick overview of some of the important points that are talked about in this week's Parsha. We have the discussions of the Nesim. This is not in order, by the way. All the various karbonos that the Nesim brought on their behalf, and it's beautiful that it's repeated and repeated to show that each one did not try to outdo the other. Each was satisfied with what they were trying to bring and what each brought, and there was no competition between them. That is one of the explanations why we have the repetition of all the karbonos, the identical karbonos brought by the various Nisim. So we have talked that discussion. We have discussions of the Isha Sota, when a husband believes his wife is not being faithful to him. We have the Nazir, the famous Nazir, who makes a commitment to not have wine, wine products, and various other limitations, not cutting hair, and not becoming Tame, not to go into Besach Forest, into a cemetery, and the like. We also have the Birkas Kohanim, given by the Kohanim still today. So many exciting things talked about in our Parsha. For our Divrei Torah number 1, we are going to start towards the beginning of the Parsha, in Perek Hey, Pasuk Yizayin, when somebody steals from a Jew. So when there is a theft, there is a process to make good on that, if the person admits it and he wants to make good. So it says as follows, Vizvadu eschatasam, you have to confess the sin that you made, that you did, the stealing. And also another aspect of having a true tshuva is Veheshiv es hashamo, you have to give back what you stole. And it's interesting to note that Vihizvadu is in Lashon Rabim, that's in plural tense, whereas the other action that you have to do the confession, and you also have to give back what you took, Veheshiv es hashamo, you have to give it back, that is B'Lashon Yachid, that is in single tense. So I saw an explanation of this, and it does have an important message to us. It says, Lizvados Muchanim Rabim. When it comes to confession, admitting something that you did wrong, people are willing to do that. I'll make a confession. I'll say I did something wrong. I'll even apologize. However, when it comes to actually making amends, physical amends, real amends, and in the case of theft, that means paying back the person that you stole from, not many people do that. And that's why it starts out with Yizvadu. When it comes to talk, many people can talk. We can say we did something wrong. But when it comes to action, Veheshiv, that's only in single tense because very few people actually do actions. And the bottom line here is that talk is cheap. And we can't be all talk and no action, really, to be chozer b'tshuva. And in all aspects, many aspects of life, it's not about talk, but it's about the Maisa, it is about doing. Dvar Torah number 2, a few psukim later, Perek Hey, Pasuk Vav, but Pasuk Yud, excuse me, it talks about when we give to the Kohanim, when we give various gifts to the Kohanim, then it says, V'ish es kadosh av lo yiyu, when you give something that is Kodesh, and you give it to him, it is his. Then the question is, what does that mean, it is his? This is actually a fairly famous Dvar Torah that typically we would say when you give something away to somebody, it is the recipient's. It's no longer the donor's. It's no longer the giver's because he gave it to the recipient. So we would say, V'ish es kadosh av lo yiyu, when you give something to the Kohen, it is going to be the Kohen's. But truth be told, there is another view of this. When you give something away and you're doing a mitzvah, you give something, for example, tzedakah, something of value, you give the truma to the Kohen, it says it will be his. The pronoun his can actually refer to the person who's donating it, the donor, because you are doing a mitzvah. So it's not that you're giving an item away to somebody else. You have the schar, the tremendous privilege, the tremendous reward of having given something like tzedakah to somebody who's needy. So there's this story that's told, and this will be brought out in more better illustration. There was a question that was asked to Rav Meir Anshel Rothschild, who was the patriarch of the famous and wealthy Rothschild family. Somebody asked him a question we would hopefully not ask nowadays. What's your net worth? I guess nowadays we don't have to ask it because it's plastered all over the internet. But somebody asked him, what's your net worth? What assets do you have? And tell me, I'm interested in hearing. And he responded in a beautiful, beautiful fashion. He says, my net worth, what I own, the assets that I have, is what I have given away to tzedakah, and I have given the dvarim shebekdusha. Anytime that I've given something for a mitzvah, I've spent on mitzvahs, I've given tzedakah, I've done chasadim financially, those are the assets that I have to my name. That and nothing else. Why? Because anything else may be owned by me one day, maybe owned by me now, but tomorrow or the next day, it's going to be owned by somebody else. And when somebody passes away, as we say, you can't take it with you. And he rivaled the following pasuk, our pasuk, ish es kadosh av lo yu, whatever is kodesh, referring to the tzedakah and the mitzvahs that you did with your money, the chesed you did with your money, that is lo, lamed vav, that is yours. The only thing you can keep with you is the money that you have spent on mitzvahs. In fact, my chavrusa, Yosef Rubin, he said that this is actually a quote from William Shakespeare in the play of Julius Caesar. Shakespeare said as follows, the Havdil, the evil that men do lives after them. That's not the focus right now, but unfortunately, when somebody does evil after, even after they pass away, that evil will continue. The good is oft interred with their bones. So the good that you do, you take it to the grave, you take it with you to Olam Haba. So the only thing you can take with you is the great mitzvahs. You can't take any of your other assets with you. That is Dvar Torah number 2. Now we're moving forward to Dvar Torah number 3, talking about the Isha Sota, the woman whose husband suspects that she is not being loyal to him. It says in Parakeh Pasuk Yudbeis, Ish Ish Kisiste Ishto, when you have a man and his wife unfortunately goes off and could be disloyal. So the question that I saw is, why do we have, right before this is the Pasuk, in Dvar Torah number 3, we had the Pasuk Ish Es Kadoshav Lo Yiyu, and right afterward it talks about the Isha Sota, the woman who is going off the Derech, or possibly going off the Derech. So Rashi makes the following comment, Ma Kasuv L'malo Minyan, why do we have the Pasuk right above, the Pasuk Ish Es Kadoshav Lo Yiyu, and now we have the Isha Sota right afterward. So it says, Rashi brings down the Chazal, Im Ata Me'akev Matanos HaKohen, if you don't give the proper Matanos, the proper gifts to the Kohen, you should have given him Truma, you should have given him various gifts that the Kohen have coming to him, but you didn't. You didn't go to the Kohen, you didn't give him his Matanos, his gifts. The result of that is that you're going to need that Kohen. You're going to need that Kohen, and eventually you're going to have to bring your wife as a suspected Sota. You're going to have to go and do the sota process, which is necessary. You need the Kohen for that. So what is going on here? So the Chassam Sofer says something fascinating. He says, if you look in Chazal, there are two times that Chazal said that we have a bracha of ashirus of wealth. Number one is when somebody gives tzedakah. When somebody gives tzedakah, it's based on the pasuk aser to aser, tithe and tithe. Why does it say tithe and tithe? That you should give 10% of your produce, or the bracha that Chazal tell us, it's a Gemara and Shabbos, Kuf Yutes, is Aser Mishvil Shetit Aser. Aser to Aser, why does it double language? So the Chazal say the drush is, give Maser, give 10%, give tzedakah in the amount of 10% from the produce, give it to the needy in order to become wealthy. So we have a bracha when we're giving tzedakah, that will, if it's a 10% that we're giving, that will have a tremendous bracha of wealth. That is one time we have the bracha. Another time that we have the bracha is a Gemara in Baba Metzia, Nun Tes Amud Aleph, and it says when somebody buys clothing and jewelry for his wife, that person, when he is esteeming his wife, then he will also have a bracha of ashiru. So I saw an interesting Dvar Torah in the Sefer Chiyucha Shel Torah. It says, you shouldn't think that I have a choice. I have two ways that I can become wealthy. I can give away my money to others, or I can simply spend it on my wife. Let me simply spend it on my wife, and that will suffice. I'll fulfill the bracha of ashirus. I'll have ashirus because I'm doing one of the two. That's not the case. What the Torah is telling us by having these two psukim right next to each other, the pasuk of Sota and the pasuk of Ish as Kadosh of Lo Yu, is to teach us that you can't get by and have the bracha of Ashiros by simply spending money on your wife. You have to do that also. But it's coming to teach us that the real Ashiros is that when you spend it on other people. That is generosity for generosity's sake. When somebody is simply spending it on his wife, that is generosity, but it is selfish generosity. You're keeping it in the family, and that could have a very negative impact. It could wind up that the wife could go off and be a sota, be disloyal to the husband. Now, what's going on here? I didn't see this inside, but it seems that if we put a gloss on this, is that if somebody is really being a selfish individual, he's spending money only in the household, on not on others, that is not going to generate respect of the wife to the husband. She's not going to be respectful of somebody who's a selfish individual. It's only by fulfilling the aser to aser, giving tzedakah elsewhere, being a generous individual, that is really going to increase harmony and loyalty and happiness in the family itself. So it seems that that's what it's saying here. Don't think that you're going to fulfill the bracha of Ashirus, you're going to have Shalom Bayis by virtue of spending only on the wife. The only way to do it really is to spend on others. To spend on others, it should be generosity for the sake of generosity and not selfish generosity, keeping it in the household. Dvar Torah number 4, continuing in Perek Hei, Pasuk Yud Beis, continuing with the Sota. So the Gemara in Sota tells us that why would somebody become a Sota? Why would somebody do something like that? So Ein Adam Over Aveira, somebody's not going to do an Aveira, Ela Im Kein Nichnas Bo Ruach Shtus, unless that person has a Ruach Shtus that enters them, which means a foolish inspiration, a Ruach, some sort of negative influence that enters them of shtus, of foolishness. That's what gets somebody off course. And it seems that the baseline, in other words, is that people don't do aveiros unless something negative, a negative influence, could be an internal, an external negative influence, this ruach shtus enters them. That's what's going to cause them to do an aveira, like the iser, the aveira of sota. So Rav Yuzel from Navardak said as follows: at the time of the Torah, we see that somebody would not commit an aveira unless a ruach shtus entered them. So the default is you're not going to do aveiros, and something negative could get somebody off course, could get them off the derech, and then they would do an aveira. But that's not the default. That wouldn't be the norm. V'ilu hayom ein adam osa mitzvah. However, when it comes to today, he said, somebody's not going to do a mitzvah unless enters into him, Ela im ke nichnas bo ruach chochma, unless a ruach, an inspiration of chochma, of wisdom, enters into him. So he's saying that our default nowadays, unfortunately, is not to do mitzvahs unless we have special inspiration. And obviously, it's better to have a default as a baseline of not doing aveiras and doing mitzvahs, and we should inspire ourselves. Each individual should inspire themselves, and that will inspire our communities as well, to raise our baseline, that our default should be not doing aveiras and only to be doing mitzvahs. Now we're moving forward to Dvar Torah number 5, talking about the Nazir. We're in Perek Vav, Pasuk Gimel, and it says as follows, Miyayin v'sheichar yazir. So we should not, when it comes to the Nazir, they make a commitment that they're not allowed to have yayin and sheikhar, alcoholic, specifically wine-based beverages, and also not only that, but grapes as well, various grape products, they're not permitted to have. So that's a loose connection to the next vort. I don't know if so much of a vort, but an interesting occurrence that happened. There was a misnagia, that's a non-chassid. Somebody was not of chassidic descendant, but he was a misnagit, he was somebody who was an observant Jew, not Hasidic, and he got into a discussion, he actually started up with a Hasidic Rebbe, the Rebbe from Rojon. And he says as follows to the Rebbe, so why us, I'm a misnagit, why do we go to davening, and afterwards we sit and we want to learn Torah? So we learn Mishnayos afterwards. That's what we do. We go to Davin, we learn Mishnayos. And how about you Chassidim? You go and you have a L'chaim afterwards. You Davin, you go to have L'chaim. Why are you doing that? You should be learning Mishnayos. So the Rebbe explained as follows. The Rebbe from Rajin says as follows, the tefillah that you have, non-Chassidim, the tefillah that you have is really cold. It's not a very inspiring tefillah. It's kara kames. It's as cold as a mace, as somebody who passes away. It's like a body, a dead body. And accordingly, when you have somebody who passed away, when you have something, when you have a mace, so what do you do to raise up its neshama? You learn Mishnayos. So that's what you guys, when your tefillah is so dry, then what you have to do is dry. It's as dry as a mace. It's as dry as somebody who passed away. You have to learn Mishnayos afterward. However, when it comes to the Hasidim, our tefillah is full of life. It's full of warmth. It's full of chiyus. Somebody who's alive wants to have a drink. So that's what we do, that we have a drink afterwards. So it's an interesting conversation between the two, but I just want to pull out a message from this that I think it's important that our tefillah should be something that has life in it and something that should be of inspiration. So we should be inspired. We should inspire people around us. That's a very important point, that it should not simply be something rote and dry, that we are going through the motions. That's not what a tefillah should be. Next, Vartor number 6, in the Birkas Kohanim, Perek Vav, Pasuk Chavtali, Yivarechach Hashem v'yishmerecha, the Sifrei says, Yivarechach, God should bless us and should protect us. So the drush is as follows, Yivarechach, Kadosh Baruch Hu should give us a bracha of nechasim, of wealth, of assets, that would be a beautiful bracha, and also v'yishmerecha, min hamizikin, from those who are attacked, the negative influences. So there was somebody who explained as follows, when somebody has assets, there's a real risk that it goes to their head, that they become arrogant, and it can have a very negative impact on them. Accordingly, he read this Sifrei as the following. Yivarechach, Hashem should give us a bracha, nechasim, that we should have assets, but having said that, he should also, v'yishmerecha, protect us from mizikim, that anything negative cannot happen from our having those assets. They should be used for the proper purposes, and it should not go to our head. Sometimes when people get wealth, especially when it happens overnight, it goes to their head, and they stop interacting with their friends, and they think they're better than other people. Chas v'shalom, the bracha should be yivarechacha, that we should have the assets, but also v'yishmerecha, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should protect us, that the assets should only have a positive impact on us and those around us. We are now moving forward to Dvar Torah number 7, and as it says in the Pasuk, it's also in the Birkas Kohanim, Perek Vav, Pasuk Vav, Yisa Hashem Panav Eilecha, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should show us favor. And there's actually a Gemara in Brachos that says that the Malachei Asharis, the angels above, asked the Kadosh Baruch Hu, why is he showing, you're supposed to be showing favor to Klal Yisrael? It says, Yisha Hashem Panav Eilecha, that he should show you favor. But doesn't it say in your Torah, Asher Lo Yisa Panim, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't show favor? You can't be bought off, that you can't be bribed. And so on the one end, the Torah says you don't show favor to people. And here in the Birkas Kohanim, it says you do show favor. So a Kadosh Baruch Hu answers as follows, how can I not show favor to Klal Yisrael? They are so strict about a specific mitzvah. I wrote in the Torah that you should say the Birkas HaMazon, a mitzvah v'deoraisa. It says, v'chalta v'savatu v'rachta. The standard is you should eat, you should be satiated, and then you say the bracha. So you have to eat enough to be satiated. That's a good amount to eat. And they're stricter on it. They're so medactic that even if they eat just a kazayas, even if they eat just a kabetza, those are much smaller than the amount to be full, they're still saying Birkas HaMazon. So we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu is showing favor to us because we're so strict about the mitzvah. So what is going on here? What's that concept of eating? We're so strict, medactic, that even if it's just a kazayas or kabetza, we are going to say a Birkas HaMazon. So this is Dvar Torah number 7, and we're going to give another one on the same Gemara. That will be number 8. So number 7 goes as follows. What's going on here that showing fondness to one another, we show fondness to one another, HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows us fondness, because we're so strict about Birkas HaMazon. So the Yeshua's Malchus says as follows, is actually a machlokes between Rebbe and Rebbe Yehuda, in the amount somebody has to eat in order to be obligated to say a Birkas HaMazon Bezimun, together with other people. So three people, for example, how much did each one have to eat in order to participate in the Zimun? So one opinion is that it's a gazayas, that's the size of an olive. It's much smaller than a kabetza. Kabetza is also small. Kabetza is the size of an egg. And it happened, what's going to be when the students of Rebbe and Rebbe Yehuda eat together? One held that it's a smaller shear, and if you eat just a kazayas, three people eat a kazayas, you have to have a Birkas HaMazon, a Zimun together, and the other had, no, you have to eat more, it has to be a kabetza. So what are we going to do if one have ate a kabetza, the other two had a kazayas, or the reverse? What are they going to do? They're going to get in a fight over the shiurim. So it says here that when they used to get together, they were so strict on caring for the other, how careful they were about caring for each other's considerations and opinions, that they said, we're never going to have a suffix. We're never going to get into a situation of having a machlokas between us, a controversy between us. So they were strict to eat, either underneath a kazayas, That's the smallest shear. So they didn't get up a kazayis, so they would not be obligated in a zimun at all. Or everyone, even if it wasn't their own Rebbe that held that, they would eat from a beitza and above, the higher shear, to make sure that they'd be able to eat together and have a zimun together based on all opinions. And says the Yeshua Smalko, this is the concept in the Siyas Panim. This is showing favor, consideration to one another, Shenasa Echad Panav the Chaveiro, that each one was being considerate of the other because they did not want to go against the opinion of the other individual. Such a powerful message, being considerate of the opinions of others and not causing conflict. Recently we had a dean of a secular university in the United States over, and he said it's been a very difficult year for him because, and his focus was, because the students on campus are not considerate of the opinions of others. And he tries to hammer into them, not so successfully, maybe a little bit successfully, that you can disagree. That's okay. You can have your own opinions, but you have to be considerate of the opinions of others. And that is something that is so lacking in today's society, being able to accept opinions of others. We don't have to agree, but just to listen, acknowledge that somebody has a dissenting view. We are too busy canceling people because they have different views of ours, divergent views. And that's not what we're saying here. We see that the Rebbe and Rebbe Yehuda, their students, were so, so considerate. That Nesiyas Panim, that is showing consideration in favor of others, even when we disagree. But let's try to address each other and try to get along and not have a machlokas over our dissenting views. Number eight, Vartura number eight, HaKadosh Baruch Hu we see here that he has Nesiyas Panim, that he shows favor in Klal Yisrael because they're so strict over a kazayis and a kabetza. What is going on here that is so inspiring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Klal Yisrael? Why are we being stricter on a smaller amount to start with, that even if it's so small as a kazayis or kabetza, we're saying birkas amazon? And why is that so important to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And the Kol Simcha has a beautiful answer to this. He says, when somebody receives a gift, we say it's the thought that counts. And especially when we receive the gift from somebody we look up to. If the king sends us the gift, a dignitary, a special person, a great rav, sends us a gift, the Gadol HaDor sends me a gift, it doesn't matter what he sends. The fact is that I will value it significantly because of the person that sent that gift to me. That means a lot to me. You thought about me. It doesn't matter what I received. And accordingly, Klal Yisrael, when they have a gift of food, we have our sustenance, we have our income from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even the smallest amount, and we acknowledge that came from God. It can be as small as an olive of bread, a kazayis, a beitz of bread. It means so much to us that we are even going to say a birkas hamazon on it because we value so much having been a recipient of a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees we value it so much, we value what we have given, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, that's my Klal Yisrael. They're being so strict. They're saying a birkas hamazon and something so small because they value having received it. That accordingly, mida kenegin mida, they see value in the gift. I see so much favor in what they are doing. And that's Yisrael Shepanav Elecha. Kadosh Baruch Hu should show us favor. Because we are so strict about mitzvahs, especially when we receive something from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, we value it, we have gratitude, we have a karas atav Kadosh Baruch Hu. Even this for the smallest amount, that is so valuable to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He appreciates that so much. Mida kedega mida, we value what we received. HaKadosh Baruch Hu values us so much more. Thank you so much for listening.